I'm going to share with you tonight about the missing link, the key to breakthrough and blessing in 2010 and in our lives as believers, period. But look, if you've got your Bible, Matthew chapter 6, verse 2. We're just going to skim over a couple of verses here. But look at verse 2. Jesus, this is his Sermon on the Mount. This is after he's called the disciples. This is his first public sermon to his disciples. And so he's telling them, and of course there are other people listening, but he's telling them about the kingdom of God, its laws, and its life. And so these are key things. This was not careless. This was a very intentional thing that he's telling us as modern day disciples about the kingdom of God and our lives in it. In verse 2, he's saying, so when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, don't let your left hand know what your right's doing. Look at that last part of verse 4. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, verse 5, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues. Look at the first part of verse 6. When you pray, he says again, go into your room, close the door, go into your secret place and pray to your Father who's unseen, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And he goes on, and when you pray, and then we have the Lord's Prayer and the model prayer, as we call it. So it's a given that we're going to give and we're going to pray, right? Because he doesn't say if you pray or if you give, and let's just, it's like a strip act every time I get up here. It's what is she going to take off next? But I hear the earrings rattle, and so I think this is it. I have changed shoes. I'm taking off earrings. I don't know what else can go. So the jacket maybe. Okay. So it's a given. He's saying when you give, when you pray. Not if, but when. So this is the part that gets a little uncomfortable. Verse 16. And when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men that they're fasting. I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it won't be obvious to men that you're fasting. And your Father, who is unseen, your Father who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. He said when you fast, not if. Not when you feel led, not when it's easy, not when there's not a birthday party or a wedding to go to, or not when it works out for your schedule, or if you think you might could handle it, or if it feels good, or no, he said, when you fast, it was a given. And here's the sentence I've got for you. God expects you to fast. If you are a Christian, if you are a disciple, God expects you, not some of you, not those of you who sing or those of you who speak or those of you who lead a church. God expects all of you disciples to fast, to fast. And there are reasons for that. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says the cord of three strands is not quickly broken. We have three strands in here, giving, praying, and fasting. Not quickly broken. Does your faith feel just a little broken, a little cracked? Do you feel like the power of God is maybe just a little diminished compared to what it could be in your life? Examine these three areas of your life. And I think it is so fantastic as we get further into this tonight, but that God led us through faith for the supernatural, learning how to get a word from him, a promise from him, stand on it, believe him. Then he led us into the concert of prayer and the season of prayer. And now he's saying, add to that prayer, fasting. And then you're going, oh my goodness, next fall's giving and I'm done. I'm not coming back. I have no plans to say anything about giving. I didn't know this was where, I mean, I knew that a few years ago, the Lord led me to, after my illness, I really hadn't been fasting. I'd fasted from TV at times, fasted from chocolate, fasted from things, but I had never really gone without food completely fast. And the Lord led me to start my year in a Daniel fast, and I was reading just an appeal letter. We call them appeal letters or direct mail when you're in ministry and on the other end, but it's what large ministries send out. And I had an appeal letter from Jensen Franklin, from his ministry and his church, Free Chapel Church, on my desk. Who knows how long it sat there, and I was just looking at it one day, and he was talking about their upcoming fast in January. And he was asking, you know, for a donation to help support his ministry. And so it was odd in that kind of a letter, in that short of a context, that God would say, come January, Natalie, I want you to fast. And I said, okay, I will. And that January, I just did a Daniel fast. And then it was when we started Passionate Pursuit in September, oddly enough, I know you're going to think I'm odd, but I had some of Jensen's fasting messages that I had listened to throughout the year, and I can't hear one and not want to fast. I just had one in the car going to Passionate Pursuit in September, and I'd been praying, Lord, as we start this event, this was our first, we'd never had one before, and I didn't know what to expect, and I had a burden for whatever you're doing here, Lord, whatever you do. I'd been praying for all the women who were coming, and say, whoever shows up, Lord, set them on a passionate pursuit of you. Give them a hunger and a thirst for you. And I prayed so much for everybody else, I didn't think to pray for myself. I get back in the car with a back seat full of leftovers from a chocolate fountain. And I get back in the car. I'd listen to that message on the way there, not really thinking. I get back in the car, and he picks right back up on fasting. And I didn't make it from the Hotel Fredonia to Main Street before the Lord said, I want you to fast. And from all food, I want you to fast. And I said, yes, sir. And I said, can we start tomorrow? So I went home and dipped my strawberries in chocolate, and I had a good time, and we started the next day. So, but I wholeheartedly believe that there would be no concert of prayer. There are just some things the Lord's done, even in this past season. And this is not to be prideful at all. I just share because to say I'm as human as everybody else and as scared of fasting as everybody else. But I'm as helpless without it, and boy, does God use it. When we do these things in secret, you notice in Matthew 6, God rewards openly. Think of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they made a decision, when Daniel felt convicted not to defile himself with the king's food. And so, you know, they asked, and the man said, well, I'm afraid of what the king will say. And they said, give us just 10 days and feed us vegetables and water and see what God will do. Evaluate us then. And does it not say in Scripture they were healthier and better nourished? They had more wisdom and insight than everyone else in the Babylonian Empire. And the king said, and it says this in Scripture, that he found none equal to them, that they were 10 times better in matters of wisdom and understanding than all the magicians and the men of that type in the kingdom. God rewarded openly. Think of Daniel later in Daniel chapter 10 when he fasts for those 21 days and again has vegetables and water and no wine, and he goes those 21 days. Think of the revelation that came to him, and God broke the power of the delayer in his life, that angelic battle that was going on between the angels and the principalities and the powers, and how Michael came and helped free the angel to come, and it took all those 21 days, but God rewarded openly and gave Daniel visions and insight. He had this vision given to him that troubled him, and that's why he started fasting, and the angel came to explain that vision, and God showed him thousands of years and kingdoms that, who's done the Bethmore Bible study on Daniel in this room? Did it not amaze you to see what has taken place in history, how to the nth detail God prophesied it through Daniel? God rewarded openly. Fasting is mentioned in the Bible 69 times. For every 3 times prayer is mentioned, fasting is mentioned once. That means that for every sermon you hear on prayer, for every 3 sermons you hear on prayer, you should hear 1 on fasting. But that's not so true, is it? I'm making up for that tonight. Just wanted to let you know. But So let's see, how many have we had in Passionate Pursuit? We've had, 8? And so I'm a little off, and so let's see. Every 4 months, then, we've got to have a fasting message somehow at Passionate Pursuit. Jesus counted on us fasting. In Luke chapter 5, the Pharisees come to him, and the men of that time come, and they say, Jesus, the disciples of John the Baptist fast. Disciples, the Pharisees fast. Why don't your disciples fast? And he said, how can the guest of the bridegroom fast as long as he is with them? But when he is taken from them, in those days they will fast. He didn't say, in those days they will fast when it is convenient. In those days they will fast. Jesus counted on us fasting. So there are these three links, these three duties or responsibilities. A lot of people refer to fasting as a duty. I like to think of it. Duty is something that implies dread. You know, it's a duty. I've got to do it. I don't want to. Responsibility is something that I'm entrusted with. Makes my neck perk up even. Stand up a little taller, a little straighter. God has entrusted us with the responsibility of fasting. It's a key to spiritual power. He has entrusted you with the same as giving and praying. And we all believe in maximizing this gift and responsibility of prayer for one another. Fasting is the same way, but that is the missing link. And just like a table, if I had a table up here with just three legs and one was missing, what would happen? It would fall over. We are missing in the church of God, in the body of Christ, we are missing this link. And that's why I'm so excited that for at least our little group of women, there's a church in Lufkin fasting. Harmony Hill is fasting, I believe, for the first time this year, starting off January. I heard today on Facebook the first assembly in Lufkin is. And so I just believe the power of God here in East Texas will be released in a different way the more we here in East Texas are beseeching him through fasting and prayer. It's all through the Bible. Who fasted? Moses fasted 40 days. Samuel fasted. Elijah fasted. David fasted. Paul fasted. Jesus fasted. The disciples fasted. Hannah fasted. Anna fasted. Esther fasted. And so on and so on. Nehemiah fasted. You look at all the men of God, the major characters, the women in the Bible, the victories that God gave, Jehoshaphat. I mean, it just goes on and on and on through the threads of Scripture. People fasted and God responded.